Welcome to the Venturing Deep podcast. My name is Amma Kessie, and I consider myself a lifelong learner. With that being said, I feel that if you search deep enough, you can learn from anyone or anything. This podcast will take a look at remarkable founders, interesting people, and topics. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Venturing Deep. It means so much to me that you stopped by to listen. Now let's get deep. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet Niani Tolbert. Niani, thank you so much for coming on the Venturing Deep podcast to break down how phenomenal Niani is. She is a marketer, turned tech recruiter, turned founder of the hashtag Hire Black Initiative. She and the whole Hire Black team are aiming to help 10,000 Black women get trained, hired, and promoted. Now, this is a mission I can definitely get behind. And something tells me if anyone or any collective can get this done, it's them. But I know it's been a minute, y'all, but this is going to be our best episode yet. Niani, are you ready?
Yes, I am ready. Thank you so much for that introduction.
Yes, girl, we got to introduce you right. So I usually like to start with this question because I think it's important for people to know how successful people start their day so that maybe they can take something from your day and incorporate it into theirs. So the first thing I want to ask you is, how do you typically start your day?
Oh, okay. So the real is sometimes I start my day and lay in the bed for a little bit. And when I say a little bit, I mean, I'm at least an hour just looking at the ceiling. But my more productive days are basically look like me waking up, brushing my teeth, of course, washing my face. Got to put that niacinamide on my face.
Okay.
And then I go to the gym for about 30 minutes and do some cardio. And after that, I like to come home, take a shower, do a little bit of cleaning, some tidying up, nothing too crazy, and then really listing out everything that is on my mind. Something that is really, really important for me is to have something that I call a second brain. And so I don't keep things in my mind. I always put it onto paper and list everything that I want to kind of accomplish or all of my ideas in a journal.
That's good. Because, you know, we be having a lot of stuff in our mind throughout the day and you can't remember everything. So that was good. That was good.
Yeah, I don't know how people can remember things.
Look, oh my God. One thing I actually still do to this day, I know we've gotten so technologically inclined, in this generation, but I still love having like a paper planner. It's something about putting pen to paper that I just can't get over, no matter how Google tries to make it so efficient for you to put in, you know, calendar invites and things like that. I love pen and paper.
That part.
Yes. So I just want to get to the beginning of your journey. So the first thing I want you to describe is your upbringing and childhood.
Ooh, we're getting deep. Deep. Okay. So my upbringing was, I was raised by a single mother, and she, you know, it was a little bit difficult in the beginning. When I was a kid, I witnessed domestic violence when my mom was with my father. And I remembered seeing my mom leave that relationship and have to start all over. So she, you know, she had to, you know, she moved back in with her mom, which is my grandma. And she was looking for a job. And, you know, at that time, it was around 2008-ish, like a little bit after she found a job and got back on her feet, was when the recession happened. And so I saw my mom and I witnessed my mom be so strong while she raised two children. And she always said to me that whatever I do, she would support. You know, she would be happy if I worked in retail. She would be happy if I was a trash can collector, a garbage collector. She would be happy with whatever I do as long as I feel fulfilled and as long as I try to be the best at it. Like that was what's important.
Yeah. Let my mom play about that.
She's like, hey, you can pick up litter from off the beach, but you gotta be picking up all the litter. Love it. That was so supported by her in a sense of her instilling that I can try everything. So she always tried her best to make sure that I was able to at least try gymnastics, try ballet, try anything that I put my mind to. And so she really, really supported me in that. And for me to receive that support from her, and for me to also witness her not getting, not being empowered by the society, that really stuck with me. You know, it was difficult for her to get a job for 9 years after she was laid off due to people outsourcing to other countries. And I really just wanted to see her succeed. I just wanted to see the world give my mom what she pours into me. And so, you know, I say all this to say my childhood and my upbringing was empowering. It was full of life because I was able to learn and try as many things as possible. It was demanding because in trying all these things as much as possible, it was kind of like, but you got to be good. and it was also very eye-opening because I saw how the world and how reality can feel towards Black women as I continue to grow into my own person.
Wow. It's like, it seems like you saw so much. And, you know, kudos to mom because it looks like she inspired you to be fearless. And it looks like you're taking that, you know, into your adulthood. I did want to ask you as well. So what did you end up studying? Did you go off to college and how was that experience?
Yes, I went to college. I went to Mount Holyoke College. It's a small liberal arts, all women's college in Massachusetts. It's one of the Seven Sisters.
Oh, what's the Seven Sisters?
So the Seven Sisters is a group of colleges that were made for women to go to college. It was basically the first colleges that women were accepted into. So those are all women's schools that existed when like Harvard, Yale, et cetera, existed, but those were only men could attend those colleges.
Wow. Okay.
So I really wanted to be, I either said it was either an HBCU or all women's college because I wanted to be in something that is historically made for marginalized people. Like I thought that was very
important. And you was thinking that at like 17, 18 years old? Wow. Girl.
I love it. I was between that or Howard. So I was like, I really wanted to go to either one of those colleges. And so I ended up going to Mount Holyoke with a Posse Foundation scholarship. And that scholarship sends a diverse group of people to college together to be each other's support system. And when I went to school, I thought that I was going to go into pre-med. I thought I was going to be, I thought my life was going to look much different. And a lot of people who knew me were like, no, you're going to go into community. You're going to go into community building. And I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to be in nonprofits. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be in social justice. Although it's something that I care about, I didn't think that that's what I wanted to do with my life. So it really looks like me going pre-med and then finding costume design along the way and then making of my own costume design major through college. So I kind of graduated with like this textile studies merger between chemistry and costume design type of degree. That's what I graduated with.
Wow. Oh my goodness. And okay. So do you, even though I know it was costume design, it's a little bit different than what you're doing now. Do you feel like there was something there that kind of is preparing you or prepares you for what you're doing now?
Yeah. So I think that So chemistry or pre-med was a lot of work because it was the labs, like you had labs. And then costume design was a lot of work as well because we also had costume hours or theater hours, but it was such a different type of way of thinking and going about things and figuring things out. I like how in both ways you're taking a creative approach to how you interpret something or how you would envision something. Chemistry is more like the logical approach, and then costume design leaves more room for creativity. And because of those two things, and on top of having a liberal arts degree where you have to try it, like you have to, you know, go into a lot of different disciplines, that helped me be able to be very confident in my hypothesis or analyze things in a way that I can be very confident in my vision, in a vision itself, and test things. So I really, really appreciate the unique experiences of that, on top of, you know, me going to a liberal arts college and being able to create my own independent studies and classes on what I was interested in. I was able to really do a lot of research into society, into things that I was interested in with the support of faculty of the college. And with that being said, that really helped me be able to navigate how to approach a concept or a topic and how to talk to an advisor and seek help. So I really, really loved that unique experience that I had by creating my own major and learning one-on-one with professors.
Wow. And, you know, you said something earlier. You said that when you were choosing your major or the pathway you were going to do in college, people around you said, no, Niani, I think you're going to do community. And I'm curious because, like, essentially what you're doing at Hashtag Hire Black is humanitarian and philanthropy work, I would say. So, like, did you have any personal examples, like, growing up of giving back and helping others that maybe caused people to say that about you? Or
yeah, that's a good question. So, like I said, my mom is my guiding light. So I have always been interested in wellness. Like since I was a teenager, I've always been interested in the seven dimensions of wellness, right? And so you have the interpersonal, you have personal, you have physical, environmental, intellectual, like the different versions. Yeah. And so when I was a high school senior, I actually partnered with the community college in my area to produce a wellness fair. And so that's where I kind of brought a bunch of people from different organizations and nonprofits in the Miami-Dade metropolitan area onto the school and onto the campus across the different seven dimensions so that people are able to be aware of the resources that they had. That was very important to me because I am someone who has benefited from a lot of these resources when I grew up. For example, my prom dress was from, you know, Woman of Tomorrow's, you know, prom dress drive. And I have many other examples of how I've benefited from things that were specifically for people of marginalized communities, whether it is some kind of scholarship or whether it is some kind of training or access to education. And so, you know, when my last 2 years of high school, I really tried to do other initiatives similar to that, whether it is like breast cancer walks, you know, being the president of the volunteer club and you know, beach cleanings and all of that type of stuff. So people assumed I thoroughly get fulfillment out of it. Like I said, I didn't think that I want to do it for life, but assumed that that's how I'd end up, what I'd end up returning to. So it's a full circle for me.
Wow. So moving forward, just want to talk about your initiative. Like, let's get into it. So the origin story is that it started as a viral LinkedIn post requesting help and offering 19 Black women to receive resume feedback on Juneteenth, and grew to an initiative whose goal is to help 10,000 Black women get trained, hired, and promoted. And now it's a network of over 7,000 people.
So 15,000 at this point.
Woo, girl! The way you said it too, it's 15,000. Excuse me. You know, I love it. I love it. So can you take me back? How was it getting something like this off the ground?
So everything kind of happened at once. I didn't expect for this to even be a thing. So
that's what people always say. Yeah, I've heard that before.
I didn't know what was going on. So essentially what was happening is that I worked for a large luxury fitness
brand.
Yeah, large luxury fitness brand. And I was a technical recruiter for it. And that luxury fitness brand was doing amazing things. Of course, like you see all this fitness technology that's mm-hmm. happening right now. So I was very excited, very, very happy with my role because I felt like I had a great team. I had great support. And once COVID came around, once the pandemic came around, I got extremely scared because my little treat tea trauma from when I was in high school and in middle school was that my mom lost her job and couldn't find a job for 9 years. So I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know what's about to happen because I don't think that people are going to pay for this product once we close these fitness centers. Like, no one's going to pay $300 per month when we close these fitness centers, and therefore my job is at stake. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So after a few weeks, I got furloughed, which is something that I fully anticipated. You know, I already had gone through that whole breakdown and picked myself back up process. And I saw not only that I got, you know, laid off, but my whole department, essentially almost my entire department, either got transferred to another company or got laid off. So all of my friends were out of a job. So around that time, I started to talk to my friends, started to talk to a few of my friends and help them with their resumes. And I was really just like, oh my gosh, like, how are Black women being affected? I was already thinking of that because, of course, I am a Black woman, and Black women were already, from what I saw in the tech space, continuing to get overlooked. So what happened was after the killing of George Floyd, I wanted to advocate in my own way. So I didn't necessarily want to go out and protest. That is not my lane. I was also extremely okay. That's okay. Everyone can have their lane.
Exactly.
I was extremely afraid of COVID. Like, I was just like, I did not know what was
going on. Girl, you gotta explain. No, you have to
explain. No, really, yes, girl.
Yeah. Don't.
I was extremely afraid of COVID. I was like, I can't go outside with a bunch of people. Like, mm-hmm. Even if this is something that resonates with me, I did not feel comfortable with that. But what I could do was offer resume reviews because I could.
I want to just make sure that everybody knows. I love what you said about how, you know, everybody can play their part. There are some people that, you know, that's your contribution. There's other mm-hmm. contributions that we all did and we all still have to offer. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And something that, while we're on this, something that I really love that Elaine Welteroth said, she's a former editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue. She says that sometimes when you're in places that aren't built for you, in spaces that are not made for you, sometimes you just being you is the revolution.
Oh, girl! Look, okay, so we're just going to end the podcast a little bit early now because drop the mic. I'm sorry, y'all. I have to go. I'm from Elaine Welteroth. Oh my goodness.
Right. I was, when I read that, I was like, yeah, like a lot of Black people, and I know that we're, you know, but I want to say this, like a lot of Black people feel as though when they're in corporate spaces that they have to make space, or they have to be a part of the DEI committee, or they have to be part of, like, the leader of the ERG. But sometimes it's like, how about you be you? Like, you being you is enough. It's enough.
Oh my goodness. This is so good. Okay, look, Niana, you even gave us, okay. Okay, y'all, let's focus. Oh my goodness. Girl, that was good.
So, like, and all of this to say, like, you know, when I, so to kind of go back into like the story, it was, hey, my existence and my strengths and what I can bring back into the Black community is the fact that I'm very good at giving feedback when it comes to reviews or when it comes to interviews. I'm very good at resumes. That is something that I'm trained in. And I wanted to help 19 Black women. And I made a post on LinkedIn, not expecting anything. I said to myself, and I even have a friend, her name is Brittany Ramsey. She works at L'Oreal as a recruiter. And if no one raised their hand, it would have been me and Brittany. And we would have just done that for the full day. But a bunch of people raised their hand. In fact, over 400 people raised their hand to help. It was slid in my DMs. I didn't have a form or anything. It was chaos. And over 500 Black women submitted their resume. And from there, I was just like, okay, this is necessary. What can we do with this? How can we, you know, have a Slack community? So if anyone has any questions about the process, we can just answer it one time and done. How can we give more information? And so basically, that was the start of Hire Black, that one post.
Wow. Going into that, What are some tips that you probably would give someone about looking for the right team member? Maybe like one or two tips when you were looking for your team. But what's something you would say to somebody like, okay, this is what you should look
for? Oh my gosh. Okay. So I had the day before I made that post, or the day after I made the post, it was the day after I made the post, I had met with, it was so Posse, the Posse Foundation, which is what the scholarship foundation that I graduated from.
I'm very familiar. Yeah.
So I ended up virtually meeting with the class of 2020 that had just graduated. So they had like a graduation meet and greet in Mount Holyoke Posse Miami Scholars. They had a graduation that they just completed. And I'm also a Mount Holyoke Posse Miami Scholar. But I graduated a long time ago. So I wanted to meet them and just give them words of encouragement and hear what they were interested in. And one of the people were interested in DEI, worked for JobWell. She worked for Royal Caribbean as a working with HR and everything. And she also worked at the admissions office, and her name is Ashley. So shout out to Ashley, who is our junior operator.
Shout out to Ashley. Is that Ashley?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Look, we're just going to take a moment. Y'all, a moment of silence for Ashley and the work she's putting in at the whole hashtag Hire Black Initiative. That girl, that woman, that lady.
Yes.
Amazing young woman is doing things.
And so Ashley was a 2020 college graduate. And so when I heard what Ashley was interested in, I was just like, hey, I reached out to Ashley and I said, hey, I don't know what's going on, but there's a bunch of people in my DM and I want to match them with Black women. And she was just like, okay, sure. Like, she had just graduated and we were just basically doing that. I told her just 10 hours per week. Mm-hmm. To volunteer. And I said that I would train her in something or try to find a job for her in return. I had that for one person. I think two other people, this girl named Nira, this girl named Josephine. So shout out to all of them. And then my friend Serge, he was my former coworker. So these 10 people, these four people, you know, volunteered their time. And in the process, I was trying to create systems. So Ashley, and I say this to say Ashley has been here ever since. Mm. And Ashley has come from being a volunteer to then I started being able to pay her for 10 hours per week. Then I started to be able to pay her for 20 hours per week. And now Ashley is a full-time person with PTO and everything.
Okay. Look, shout out to you for that PTO, okay?
And yes, let's say,
saying something without saying something. Yeah. About persistence, consistency, and loyalty. She's trying to tell us something, okay? She's trying to talk to all of us young people. It's not just about, you know, gimme, gimme, gimme. Sometimes if you do what you're supposed to do and you do it well, you never know what could happen at the end of it. Woo!
You never know. And so, like, what I say is, you know, when it's building a team, and a lot of people do not like when I say this, but try, if you cannot afford, I am not against unpaid internships as long as it is valuable to someone. It could be a stepping stone to a career. I took an unpaid internship, which landed me to where I am now. But what I'm saying is that if you're building a team, you need to invest into the people. So if you cannot afford if you cannot afford to invest into the people, then do not have them work full time for you. Like, don't even have them work part time. I started Ashley off at 10 hours per week. And I was saying, hey, out of these 10 hours, I'm going to try to train you in something. I'm not going to take on a intern for 40 hours. That makes no sense to me. So you have to be able to invest into your people and also be able to train your people, be able to coach your people and help let them grow and give them the space to grow, give them the space to learn and really be able to help them guide and understand what they want to do and shift their role, you know, to what makes sense for them. Because if it makes sense for them, it's going to make sense for you. We've had many fellows come in and out or people part-time. And, you know, once I realized that this is not something that aligns with their goals, then I understand that it is time for them to move on or something, it's time for us to move on. Because if it does not align with someone, I don't want to be I don't want to be
in the way
of that. In fact, I'm not going to put her name out there, but we actually just extended an offer to a full-time offer to someone who we really enjoy working with, and because she's part-time right now. And she was very frank and open and honest and said that, hey, she actually has another role that she is, you know, she's juggling two roles in addition to being in school. And I was like, hey, like I thanked her. I was like, hey, thank you for allowing for us to be in your life in the way that you choose. Because if it doesn't work for her, it doesn't work for me.
Niani, okay. Look, I classify you as a transformational leader.
Thank you.
Someone who basically, when people come into her presence or come and work with her, you don't leave them and they don't leave you as you guys first were. And I think that that's something that we should continue to adopt, is investing in people around us, the people who work with us. I'm inspired by how you run, your business. I want to move into, so you ladies are out here putting in work. I remember there being a Slack channel, which I was a part of, and that's actually kind of how I heard about it. And then, you know, you guys have the mega resume drop and you all put on a successful summit back in November. I know there are a lot of things that you all offer. What is the thing that you're most excited that you offer members out of anything? What's the most exciting thing that you offer to them?
Okay. And I'm going to try to keep, as you can tell, I'm a talker.
That's okay.
So the biggest thing about what we offer is, and the thing that we offer the most, and I know this is going to sound like a cheesy answer, but the biggest thing that I'm excited about is access. And that's on period. Because access, no matter, like, Black women, we are educated, we are capable, we have the goods, we have it. The difference is that we may not have the access. And so access may be to tap into knowledge or tap into some industry secrets or how to move about ways, because we were so historically marginalized and historically suppressed from getting into these jobs, that there are people and there are communities of people, there are white people who have had cousins and uncles tell them how to navigate the corporate world, whereas there are a lot of Black people who may be operating the corporate world as the first person in their line. Like, so they're the people that are going to be the ancestors that people turn to. And so that's access to knowledge, but also access to network. So when it comes to recruiting, you have three buckets. You have the organic candidates, who are people who apply to things, apply to a listing. You have people who are sourced, which are when a recruiter reaches out to you via LinkedIn and asks you if you're interested in a role. And then you also have referrals. So referrals is when someone asks someone within the company internally if there is someone who they think will be a good fit for the job. Now, referrals are typically the fastest way and the most efficient way for people to get qualified leads or qualified candidates, because that is kind of pre-vetted by someone within the company already. With that being said, all of these three things are biased. Every single one of these approaches are biased, especially when it comes to referral systems, because if you are continuing to be referred by the same people, if your organization is not, if it's not diverse and you're asking these people who are not diverse for candidates, then you're going to continue to see people who look the same or who have the same background or who went to the same school or are coming from the same companies. So
very, very good point.
Yeah. So, and that's the fastest way to get someone in. And so I think it's really important for us to have a network, for recruiters to have a network of people that don't look like them, or a diverse network of people. Because that, in that way, you know, if you're not part of this referral network that keeps on happening, then you're probably going to be overlooked. And if you are being overlooked because you have such biases on what makes a good candidate, because you're looking for the candidates that come from this company or whatever, then there is a group of people who are continuing to not be considered at all. And so I love the fact that we invest into a lot of technological systems that allow people to have one-on-one interactions with people who they may not have had access to otherwise. I think that that is important because it allows for people to show their capabilities and their transferable skills outside of what people see on resumes, outside what people see by someone's experience on LinkedIn. And because of that human connection, because of these human interactions, rather than a transactional interaction, these people are able to be considered for roles. Whereas if people would have just seen their resume on top of and within the stack of a bunch of other people's resumes, they may not have been as considered.
You just put so much thought to this. And like you can tell by just like your detail, you just put so much thought into it. And it was something you said earlier. So your initiative is contributing to increasing diversity and inclusion, like hands down, so many sectors, not just even the tech space. But what are some key things that you think employers can do to get behind increasing diversity and inclusion? Because you spoke about it a little briefly, but do you have any thought to that?
I think that the first thing that I encourage people to do is make sure that you're safe, your place is safe.
Oh.
Make sure that people are able to speak up. What is your first question is like, what is your attention with Black folk? Like, are you noticing a mass exodus of Black people in your company? Because I've witnessed a bunch of Black people leaving at once in different companies. And so like, why are Black people leaving? Examine your exit interviews. People are leaving. And if you don't have Black people, what's that about? Like, what's going on here? And so first, like, I think it's really important to do an internal look, because if you are having retention rates that are not looking good, then that shows something about the Black people and the sentiment of the company culture. That's really, really important, because I would hate for people to hire Black people and then the Black people don't even feel like they even belong. Like that's what's most important. Like, do the inner work. Just like how people are saying you got to love yourself before you love somebody else, you got to make sure that internally you love Black people. So that when you're extending and doing some diversity work, that you are actually attracting and you can retain this Black talent that you have been looking for and attracting. That's the first thing. The second thing is to understand that this is a long-term thing. You can't just throw money at a problem and at people who may not be qualified. You can't throw Black people into it just because they're Black. You can't throw, like, it's you have to have a very thought out system, and you have to do just as though you do product market fits and you do research for your consumer brands and consumer goods. You need to do research and go into the weeds and understand what Black people are dealing with. What are the biases that are against Black people? And from there, understand whatever, find the insights that you need so that you can actually come up with a strategy rather than just thinking that you can just put something together and say that it's for Black people.
I have another question that I wanted to ask you. You know, as Black women, sometimes you feel like you cannot show up as your authentic self. And as I'm sure you know, that can affect someone's productivity. Do you feel that it's important to be authentic when applying or interviewing for roles, and then like moving forward when you go into the role, how you should act?
So this is how I feel. I'm going to tell you like how I genuinely and truly feel about this. So I think that it is necessary to be in a place that makes you feel comfortable. Like, be in a space that makes you feel comfortable with whatever the professional space looks like to you. So when I'm saying this, I say that it's not a cookie cutter thing. Some people want to go to work and they want to feel welcome and they want to feel as though they can make friends. Some people go into work to clock in and clock out, and that is okay. Mm-hmm. Right. And so whereas I feel as though workplaces should allow you to be whoever you are, I understand that, you know, some people may not even feel comfortable or may not even want to bring their authentic self to work, but it should be something that they can do if they want it. I also understand that there's a lot of work that society needs to have that society needs to do in order to be right. And people got bills to pay as well. So I always encourage people to understand what they want. Like, what do you really, really want? And that's beyond when it comes to culture or even money. It's what do you want out of the role? What does that make you feel? Well, how does that make you feel? Do you want to be able to go and not have people ask you questions about your hair? Do you want to, or do you want to wear your hair straight, you know, so that you don't have to deal with even having to think like that? Like, what does peace look like to you? And however peace looks like to someone, I'm not the person to judge. I will judge corporations and be like, well, y'all need to get it together to make sure that people can feel comfortable. But when it comes to the Black woman and how she navigates the career, her role, whether she code switches or not, if she could choke code switch, she could choose not to. She could wear her hair in a long, in bundles, mini bundles. Her butt in blonde, and if that's what she wants to do to go to work, then she could do that. She could wear her hair in an afro to go to work, and she could do that too. Like, what makes that person feel like they're the most comfortable in the space that they are in and the most confident? Because what I don't want people to do is feel as though they have to take a stand for their Blackness or take a stand for them in a space where they just may want to just be. And I understand that not everyone wants to be an advocate. Not everyone wants to be a DEI pusher. And some people want to clock in, clock out, and get the check. And if you want to clock in, clock out, and get the check and mask, that's fine. That's fine.
Wow. Wow. So you said, what does peace look like for you? And we are not, mm-hmm. we cannot judge what peace looks like to one woman, to another. That's good.
Yeah. I think that that's important because some people... Like for me, and this is the first time that I'm saying this, and I might get very sentimental about it. When I first went into corporate world, I would wear a ponytail. I would wear a nice ponytail. You don't want to clip in ponytails because I did not feel like spending a bunch of money on my hair all the time. It was very simple. It was very efficient. But what happened to me was I just came from getting blood work. That's what just like, I just came from getting blood work is that I ended up developing alopecia. I have scars on my scalp because of the ponytail that I wear. And because of that, I have the potential to not even get my hair back. I can lose my whole hair. Like this scalp, if it's not treated and if I didn't catch it, that can go across my whole head. Like I can lose all my hair because of trying to fit in, right? At the time, I didn't know that. I didn't know that I was damaging myself. I didn't know that that would be a solution. So, you know, looking back at it, I wish that I was confident enough to be like, F it, I'm gonna wear whatever if I wanna wear. Even if everyone else is glossy in their way, I'm going to be me. But at that time, I would not have been able to be confident with my hair because I didn't know how to navigate my hair at that time, yeah. Right? So where I am, I'm kind to myself about the decision and I'm also kind to other people about their decision and where they are at. If it's something that they don't feel comfortable with, then I want to encourage them to be comfortable, but also be safe with themselves. Understand the repercussions that that can have, but I will never judge.
Wow. And I, even though the same thing, I didn't go through that. I feel like every Black girl has a story like that, you know, whether if it was, you know, maybe your clothing, your hair, you know, your skin, different things like that, where we try to accommodate. And it may not be a physical scar, but it can be, you know, a scar that's, you know, in your mind or something that you went through just so that you could fit in or you could be quote unquote normal.
Yeah. I want to encourage people to go to spaces that they feel very comfortable with being their authentic self. That is a scary thing. But I also understand where people are and you like if they're not ready to do that or if they are here for a check or if they're here for whatever reasons because they have to pay bills or whatever that looks like, that whatever they have to do to cope or to feel comfortable and confident, I also want to forgive them. I want them to forgive themselves and I want to give them that space to figure that out.
Ooh, Niani. So I want to go back to you know, what you're doing at Hire Black. And I wanted to ask you, so I'm sure you receive a lot of testimonials about people getting hired or people receiving the help that they need because of your platform. But to date, what is your favorite testimonial that you've received so far?
Oh my gosh. Okay, let me think. Oh, geez. It's very hard because I really, really, there are so many people that have said that they have doubled their salaries and they have while pivoting. So it's like, okay, so this is your first time in tech and you doubled your salary and you're at Amazon? Excuse me? I love to hear that. But what I thoroughly have experienced in the past few weeks was being able to see. And so we just started our internship cohort. So we have an internship program. We partnered with companies to land people in internship roles. And what we're doing alongside their internship is we're preparing them for their internship and we're giving them office hours throughout their internship. So people will have additional training while they're in the job. So I have gotten emails from people who have literally been like, oh my gosh, I did not think I was going to get a call back. You know, oh my, like these are people who are very anxious in the beginning of their careers and don't have experiences, don't have work experience or don't have the corporate work experience, but they are literally able to get calls back and get interviews and get offers from really large and notable companies that can set them up for the future. And that has been so touching because it's very hard. It's very hard when you graduate from college to try to get into an entry level role, or even when you're in college and trying to get internships, especially because when you compare yourself, when those people who don't have that additional plug or they don't have the nepotism route, then they have to compete with people who may have had a cousin or an uncle in a senior level position that was able to get them a job. Like, I think that it is so incredible to be able to put people in these positions to learn and to feel confident as they go into the workforce. And that has been just, it's hit different these past few weeks. And so I'm just very, very happy to really try to help the next generation feel confident as they step forward and into the workforce.
And I know you're going to do it. I have no doubt about it. Before we get to our fun round, I did want to ask you if you had any advice for those who are seeking to start an initiative of their own, or even just some words of encouragement, because we know it's not easy all the time when you're getting something off the ground.
I would say to allow yourself to receive help, open yourself up to people who want to help, all the while having and organizing your vision and believing in your thoughts, believing in your vision. I say this because there's a lot of people who will close themselves off, or there's a lot of people who may even feel as though they have to do everything on their own, or the opposite, right? They may take a lot of suggestions by other people and they may lose their vision into trying to people please and listen to how other people would solve the problem. I think that having a good balance of being open to advice, being open to, you know, feedback, but also being very headstrong about what you believe and being confident that you know you can make an impact is really, really important. And making sure that that balance exists is really important. And and just as a word of encouragement, if you believe that you could do it, you could do it. If you have, like, you are that person that came into your psyche for a reason, that was gifted upon you for a reason. So if you need to, and you're feeling as though you're not the person for the job, write down why you are. Write down what makes you unique, why you are that person. Put it on paper. And if you are ever feeling like, maybe I need to listen to this person because this person knows better than me, look back at that paper and be like, but I'm the person for the job because I've done X, I've done Y, and I've done Z. Mm.
And that is it on that. Okay. All right, Niani. So we are getting to the fun part of the show. Are you ready for the speed round?
Yes, I am. Okay, girl.
So if you had a TV show based on your life, what would be the name?
Oh, dang. Hold up. I'll just say Work Friend. Like Work Friend.
Okay. I can get with it. Do you have a favorite book? And does not have to be associated with community, any book.
The Four Agreements.
Ooh, okay, we're going to have to check that one out. When you were a kid, what did you want to be?
A forensic pathologist.
So specific. Oh my goodness. What is your favorite place to visit in your city? Shout it out so that we can go check it out when we visit through.
I would say my grandma's house, but I can't say that. Miami Beach. I love just being on the beach. Either that or I like to go to Yambo, which is is it from Nicaragua? Oh my gosh. I hope it's a Nicaraguan restaurant in Little Havana. I like the Little Haiti Cultural Complex. Shout out to Little Haiti. I like to take their Haitian folklore dance class. And I like to go to Massillon, which is a Haitian restaurant in Miami Beach.
Okay, y'all. We got some places to travel. We go. What is your favorite pastime snack? And that's telling me where you're from. It'll tell me where you're from because I tell people all the time, like, you from Georgia. You know, you had them now later. The salt and vinegar chips, Calypso.
Okay, so for real. Okay, I'm going to say this. Okay, I loved getting the Jungle Punch, like the carton Jungle Punch with pickled egg. But pickled egg had to be smashed up inside in the Ziploc bag, and then you bite the edge of the Ziploc bag, and then you squirt the pickled egg into your mouth, the smashed up pickled egg with a Jungle Punch. That is so good.
What in the world? Oh my gosh. Y'all gotta love her attention to detail. With every question I'm asking, she is so detailed and thorough with it. You can't ask, oh, what did you say? Oh, I didn't follow that. No, she said it all. Okay. She said a Ziploc bag smashed up.
And if you're from Miami, you know what I'm talking about. That smashed up pickled egg in the Ziploc bag that you squirt into your mouth and you have the carton of Jungle Punch. That is it. It is it. I have not had that since I was like 8 years old because my mom does not like pickled egg, but I love it.
Oh my gosh. Y'all, oh my goodness. Okay. If you could sit down with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh my gosh. Jeez. Oh, wow. You just took me. I would have to say, my partner's mother, I would have to say because she passed away. I would have to say my partner's mother. I would love to have a conversation with her.
Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, I don't think I've ever heard that before. All right. What are three of the most important things to you right now? They could be a person, a moment in culture, a thing.
Three of the most important things to me right now is peace. Dang. Okay. Peace, family, and friends.
That's good. All right, y'all. So, Niani, please tell people where they can find you and connect.
Yes. So you can connect with me on LinkedIn. It's Niani Tolbert. So Miami, but with N's instead of M's. So N-I-A-N-I. My last name is T-O-L-B-E-R-T. You can also find Hire Black Now on hireblacknow.com, at Hire Black Now. We are everywhere, except for Twitter, because somebody stole Hire Black Now. Like, what is that about? That's crazy, yeah. Right? Like, who does that? So it's Hire Black Now HQ on Twitter until we figure that out.
I like that, though. You might have to buy it off of them.
I got to figure something, because... but so you can, you know, join our Slack group. We have our careers page or job board. We have our summit coming up on the week of Juneteenth. Yeah. There's so many ways to get connected. So absolutely. Let's chat.
Niani, thank you so much for coming on the Venturing Deep podcast. I believe you all are just getting started and will surpass well over your goal. Just thank you so much for coming on and the gems that you dropped and the detail. I know that listeners are going to get so much from this episode. So again, thank you.
Thank you. I had so much fun. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Venturing Deep podcast. And y'all know that I have some takeaways for y'all. And of course, as you know, takeaways don't have to be verbatim what the guest says, but it can just be something that I heard or I want to phrase it in a certain way. So the first one is write things down. Maybe get a journal. I really love this one because I actually practice this. Now, I may not write every single day. I may decide to write after every quarter or maybe a couple of weeks or so. But as long as you're writing it down, you can kind of assess, you know, where you are in life. The next one is, no matter what you do, do your best. And this is from the part where Niani was talking about her mom and just how amazing she was and how she supported her. But it's just something I think about, like whether you are a surgeon, you are a swim coach, you're a janitor, it does not matter. Whatever you find your hands doing, do your best. Because I also feel like people are always watching you. And when you least expect it, because you're doing your best, you never know what type of promotion opportunity can happen. And the next one, you are enough. I'm not going to expand on that, but that is just something that you should always take. The next one is advocate in your own way. The way you advocate may not look like how everyone else does it, but it's about making an impact. That's all that matters, as long as you're making a positive impact on the world. Another one is make opportunities valuable. Invest into the people that work for you. Access is important. Believe in your vision. Don't lose your vision in someone else's. And oh, this one is for me. Allow yourself to receive help from those who want to help you. And the last one, what does peace look like to you? Peace looks different from person to person. That one really got me. So many gems were dropped in this conversation. But as always, the podcast has come to an end. And want to let you guys know that you can find us on Instagram at the Venture Deep Podcast. And if you want to talk to me directly, you can find me on Instagram at keepme_Kessie or on Twitter at @Ama_Kessie. I'm so excited to hear your feedback, questions for future guests, or anything else you want to discuss. And could you do one thing for me? Could you share this episode with your peers? And if you loved it, leave a 5-star rating and positive review so that we can reach more people. Special thanks to today's guest, and thank you to you too. Because our time is our most valuable resource, and you spent some of it with me. For that, I am so, 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 so grateful. Until next time, don't be afraid to venture deep.